Let me exhort you over the offering for a moment. Open up to Luke chapter 16, I believe it is, where we're going to start. And those of you that raised your hands that's never heard me minister before, if you would like to meditate on what I think personally is the best passage in all of the Bible concerning finances and how to become a steward of God's finances and how to handle your finances righteously while we live on this planet. Then one of the first laws of meditation is leave everything, every verse, in the setting that God gave it. So Pastor Dave early on taught me, or he taught all of us, but I listened. He says, ask the... That didn't really come out exactly the way I intended it. I'm sorry. That's not like me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. Well, I did listen to the point that when I heard Pastor Dave teach, and it was that big set of tapes, imagery, delivery, meditation, imagery, and delivery. When I heard what was on those tapes, it so radically impacted my thinking. I went home because I had 9 books on my bookshelf by various authors. One way or another, the title was How to Meditate God's Word. I took all 9 of them and threw them in the trash. Why? They were wrong. Dave is right. And he says you learn how to meditate the Word of God in whole images. Well, I'm not teaching on that. But how you begin that process, you come to a difficult passage. Like we're going to look at the unjust steward here in a minute. Trust me, you can hear a lot of flaky teaching about the unjust steward. A lot of it designed to get your money. Okay? We're not trying to get your money here. I'll just tell you right now, God's not interested in getting your money. He's interested in getting you. That's what he's interested in. Well, Pastor Dave says, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you come to a difficult passage, you don't know what it means. Say, Holy Spirit, where does this subject start? You know, help me back up and find the beginning of this. And then help me find the end of it so I can meditate this difficult passage in the entire setting that God gave it. Well, I was trying to break these. There's some difficult verses, you know. Luke 16, here's one. How about verse 9? And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, what? I'm a faith man. I don't fail. That when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I don't know about you, but in the early days, I had a few questions about that verse. What? What? You know, so I started asking the Holy Spirit, and he said, well, back up, you know. Back up. So I went to Luke 16:1. He says, back up some more. And I went to, the prodigal son is in there, and he said, back up some more. You know where you got to start this? Luke 15, verse 1. And I'll tell you right now, the end of it, it's the end of it where you start. The end where you start. God. Aren't you glad you came? What I'm saying, I found out there's even more beyond this. But this is a good image. Luke 15:1 through Luke 17:10. That's all one image. Let me tell you how it starts. I'm not going to teach in micro. We're not going to go Greek definitions and that type of thing. Let's teach macro here for a minute. See how Luke 15:1 starts? It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. So get the picture. Here's Jesus. And here comes all of the sinners. And they come for one purpose. And that's to hear him. The Pharisees, now that's the religious experts of the day. That's the one that they drove the Lexus camels. They had the Gucci robes, you know. Everyone looked up to them as being the uppity-ups and the highest that there is. Notice their attitude when they saw these sinners listening to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured. That means they complained. They're going, this man? He receives, you can almost hear the revulsion in their voice. He receives sinners. And he eats with them. It wasn't bad enough he'd have them in his presence. We saw him having a sandwich with one of them. You know? We can't believe it. It's horrible. Now later on, He's going to give a really damning parable about a rich man who wouldn't even give Lazarus, this beggar, the crumbs that fell from his table. I'm telling you right now, that parable is pointed directly at these rich Pharisees who were using religion to get rich. And they did not care anything about these sinners at all. That's what religion will do to you. And religion that has not learned how to mortify the flesh, that's where the flesh will lead you. This week we're going to get branded. That definition, I loved it. I looked it up real quick. The dictionary says, a brand is a mark made by burning. That indicates ownership. How many of you think the cow enjoys the branding? Sometimes that branding is a little rough. But you come out on the other side with ownership on you that everyone can see. I'm excited about that. Well, let's get into this unjust steward for just a minute. I'm not going to teach this line upon line because this is just an offering exhortation. But since we're family here, I'm going to share with you a couple of things. I know what it is to serve mammon. My whole life before Jesus was all about money. And I was doing pretty good at it. Sue and I, we were in the real estate business in Tulsa. Plus, I had a little construction company on the side. We were doing pretty well for young people, just married. And we lived in the right part of town, had a really nice house. We each had brand new Cadillac cars. Thank you very much. My suits were made by the tailors. I wouldn't go buy a suit off the rack, you know. Plus, I didn't go visit the tailors. My time was too valuable for that. The tailors came to my office and measured me there. Custom made my suits. I'm trying to make a point. Every decision that I made, everything had to do with where we're going to live, what kind of car we're going to drive, how we're going to educate our kids, how does this affect our vacation, how does this affect... Every decision I made was about money one way or the other. But then I got branded. It took a while. The branding may still be going on. I still hear, there's a bellow every now and then. Ow, Lord. Anyway. He started dealing with me about becoming a steward of his. So let's pick it up here in Luke 16, verse 1. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pick some highlights here. I'm going to encapsulate about 30 years for you here. And he said also unto his disciples. Now, you've got to remember, you'll understand these much better if you can remember every one of these parables, every teaching is directed towards these covetous Pharisees, the covetous rich man, the covetous religious person. So he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And one day I was going through there and the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. And he asked me a question. Now I like how Pastor Dave's not here, is it okay if I quote him a lot? Okay. Pastor Dave says, whenever the Holy Spirit asks you a question, he is not looking for information. He knew the answer to every question in many millennia before you were born. Okay. So when he asks you a question, he's trying to teach you something. Isn't that right? So he asked me a question. I was just going wrong reading that verse. There was a certain rich man which had a steward. And he asked me, who is your rich man? I gave the right answer. Had to think a minute. Jesus is my rich man. Then he asked me another question. It's 30 years ago and I can't hardly answer it. The emotions rise up because he asked me. I don't know if he ever asked you, but he did me. Will you be his steward? Will you? I said, well, if he wants me to be one, how would a person become that? How would you literally on earth become a steward? See, mostly religion uses the law to beat you over the head trying to get the tithe out of you. They try and guilt you out of it. No, they try and guilt it out of you. Threaten it out of you. Pummel you with scripture till you let go of that 10%. And that's so Old Testament. It's very valid under the Old Covenant. How many of you know we're in a better covenant. Established on better promises. See, under that old covenant, 10% was the Lord's. But see, if you're His steward, how much is the Lord's? We've been bought with a price. I'm not employed. I am owned. I'm branded. I'm branded, see? That's one of the questions he asked me. Come on down. I'm just going to touch some highlights here. Starting in verse 10 now. One thing about a steward, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that's unjust in the least is unjust also in much. In mine and Sue's life, it definitely started out with the least. We began learning how to hear His voice and listen to Him rather than just trying to serve Him by some kind of formula. How many of you know Jesus is alive and well? He speaks from heaven, and our job is to hear Him by the Holy Ghost and obey. Well, He began dealing with us with little. I'll still remember, I'll never forget the time. These were in the days that I don't know way I know how to describe it. Money was staying away from us in great abundance. Have any of you ever been there? I mean, every $10 was like a fortune now, you know. I mean, at the time. And we were sitting in a service, and he said to me, you know, it was offering time. And he says, give that lady sitting in front of you $10 right now. At that time, $10 seemed like so much money. I was kind of hoping that when I opened my wallet, there wouldn't be $10 in it. Because I'd already made this covenant with the Lord, the agreement that I wouldn't ask Sue for money like that, because that might be the milk money or something. I didn't know, you know. But if I had it, then I had to give it because I'm the one hearing it. See, you want to take a guess how much was in my wallet? Exactly $10. You know? So I gave it to her, and as soon as she felt it in her hand, she began to just cry. Tears, just real tears, just flowing. Found out afterwards, she was in real trouble. She needed help from God. But she had been taught by religious Pharisees, if you'll allow me, she had been taught that the only way to get God's attention or to get His help was you had to give big. Well, she didn't have hardly any money at all. The only thing she had that was any value was her wedding ring. And she had full intention of slipping that ring off and putting it in the offering until the Lord had me give her that $10. Starts with little, faithful in little. $10, pretty little. At that same time, we don't have time to get into this, when he was dealing with me about over in Matthew's, when he starts talking about consider the lilies of the field. Why take you thought, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? And that was my whole life, taking thought before. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What kind of car are we going to drive? He says, no. He says, the whole Gentile world, the whole unbelieving world is like that. From the birth to the grave, that's what they think about. He said, if you ever learn to seek first the kingdom of God and put that first and His righteousness, he said, all of these things will just be added to you. Well, I'll be honest with you, we trying. It didn't seem like they were added to us. But over these years, I think He wants me to just share a couple of things with you. When He first called me full-time into the ministry, one of the main reasons I did not obey Him, most of you know that story, was because we had a car payment. And I didn't know if the Lord knew that. Because he was telling me, stop, you know, quit right now. Give your employer 2 weeks' notice and go. You'll be free to go full-time. And I had a few questions, like full-time into what? We had no ministry. Nobody was asking me to preach. We had nothing. And I'm going, Lord, don't you know I have this car payment? Let's fast forward. Do you know from the day I did finally obey Him, we have never had another car payment in our life? I've never had to buy a car on time again. People have always bought our cars for us. And here's the other side. We've never sold a car either. We don't sow them to get them. We give them because he says give them. Tells you who to give them to, see? Isn't that interesting? The thing that I thought, my great wisdom. I can't go full time. I got a car payment. I don't know why he didn't tell me. He could have, couldn't he? I don't know why he didn't tell me, if you'll obey me, you'll never have a car payment again. I'll go ahead and tell you this about cars. Seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Last year when I went to Bronx church down in Immokalee, Florida. And by the way, if you want a little slice of heaven, go to Immokalee, Florida and go to the prayer family prayer center down there and visit with Bronk and Candy a while. It's wonderful down there. You drive through 30 miles of oranges just to get there. But I went down in a rented car, you know. At the time, we had two cars. One was pretty new. You know, it was a 2005 model, and Sue drove it. The other one was a 19... It wasn't from this century, the other car. It was a nice car, but it was a 1995, and getting so many miles on it, I was afraid. So I rented a car and come down. And I'd been looking at, and you know, getting a better car. But I was looking at mid-sized cars, you know. Anyway, I'm just... examples of how things happen. I'm driving back home from Bronx, and I'm somewhere between Birmingham and Tulsa, and when I'm driving like that, boy, I love it, because I just pray in tongues, you know, and listen. And somewhere between Birmingham and Tulsa, as clear as you're hearing my voice, just as crystal clear, he said to me, your next car is a town car. And it so stunned me, because I wasn't even thinking about a big car like that. It so stunned me, I said out loud to nobody, really? Nobody. I mean, there's nobody else in the car except him. Really? I get back home, and I think that was a Sunday. Monday was a holiday. And I had been working with a salesman, but we'd been looking at like a mid-sized cars, and which are, you know, Malibu and Impala and Ford Fusion. That's about that size of car. And I hadn't even talked to the salesman since before I left to go to Bronx, and that was 2 weeks earlier. I get a call from that salesman. He says, Gary, we had a car come in yesterday late. It's over in the detail shop right now. They're cleaning it up. I'm telling you, I think this might be your car. It's low mileage. It's really a nice car. I said, what kind of car is it? He goes, it's a town car. I should have just said, start the paperwork. I'll be over there in 15 minutes, you know. By the time I get over there, now I have not negotiated a dime. It's sitting out front, by the way. Y'all can see it later. But I didn't negotiate a dime on this thing. They did it all. They sold me that car for $4,500 below the blue book. And I never negotiated a dime on it. When I left, the salesman patted me on the shoulder. He said, well, thanks for your business. He says, send your friends. Don't come with them. The Lord gives me too good a deal. I don't think they're making any money. Now, I've had a lot of time to think about that. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you one more and then I'll quit. See? Trying to learn how to phrase this. This heart of a steward does not come naturally. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll tell this story. Here, let me tell this one. Years ago, I was teaching along these lines, and I was saying, you've got to develop the heart of a steward, meaning, whose money is it? Yes, sir. I haven't read the verse yet. That makes sense. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, Lord. Luke 16, 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Look at verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? That which is another man's. That's what a steward is. A steward knows that the finances he's handling do not belong to him. If you're going to have the heart, if you're going to become a steward to the Lord, a mindset has to develop in you every dime that comes across your path is not yours. You have to find out, Lord. And He knows you have need of things, you know. So I was teaching along this line years ago, and I had this little lady. I just loved her. Sweetheart of a little gal, maybe 35 years old at the time. And I was teaching along this line, and I says, you know, I said, you ought to just say, Lord, I want to practice being your steward. If you'll get an extra amount of money to me, you know, you ask according to your faith, $50, $20, $100. Lord, if you'll get it to me, then I'm going to be your steward. And I'm not going to run out and spend that. I'm going to hang on to it. And I'm going to listen for what you want to do with it. I'm going to start practicing being your steward. I said, just ask the Lord for an amount and see what He does, you know. Well, this one little lady, a week or two later, she gave this. People were giving their testimonies, and then it was her time to come up. Her name was Neri. I just loved her. She come up and she says, well, I did what Brother Gary said. And do you know what? I asked the Lord for $100. Said it like that. $100. Like that's a lot of money. I asked the Lord for an extra $100. And do you know what? It came. You want to know what I did with it? I bought new shoes. Because I had totally forgotten. I got so excited when that $100 come in. I went out and I bought new shoes. I'd had my eyes on these shoes. And I bought them. And I'm so happy I'm on my way home with my new shoes. And the Lord said, now what did you say you was going to do with that $100? And it dawned on me. I said, oh Lord, that's supposed to be your money. What? I'll turn this car right around, Lord. I'll turn it right around. Go get, turn these shoes back in. He says, keep the shoes and ask me for another $100. You're going to find out the Lord is very generous. Okay? So He said, that's a good deal. I'll do that. She did. She asked the Lord for another $100, and this time she remembered. She said, I had to walk around with that $100 in my purse. It was about 2 weeks because I'd pray and ask, and I didn't hear nothing. And I didn't hear nothing. And she says, do you know how many shoes I walked past with that $100 in my purse? But when the Lord finally did speak to her, it was a family that had no money at all. Two little kids. He said, can I trust you to give this $100 to them? That $100's for them if you're going to be my steward. She said, I want you to know the feeling I got from giving that $100 to that family was better than any shoes I've ever worn in my life. I said, Lord, I want to be your steward for more. Now you're on the right path. Now you're on the right path. I want to fast forward. I wasn't going to tell you this, but he thinks you're family. For years and years, Sue and I had to steward at a level of just above zero. I have a message that's really, really good. It's called Back to Zero Again. Like that day I gave that $10. Where was Gary? Back to zero again. That went on for years. Then one time, we got a check for $25,000. Now, that's just not happening every day so far. Got a check for $25,000. You know what the Lord said? He says, can you steward at the $25,000 level the same way you stewarded at the zero level? Can you function with that $25,000 in the bank and not touch it till I tell you? Said, I don't know. You might as well be honest with the Lord. I'm not sure about that. I know all about zero, but see, you don't have any choice when it's zero. It's really kind of easier to believe God when it's zero. But now you've got $25,000 in the bank, and the light bill is due. And there's not enough above the $25,000 to pay the light bill. Now what do? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. Take up the love offering right now. I said, no, he wanted me to believe God. He says, I want to find out now who's your source. Am I still your source, or is the $25,000 your source? He made me. He allowed me to sit on that money for nearly 2 years. Nearly 2 years. And believe him as if there was zero in the bank to find out whose money is. See, look at it again. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, if you're going to have the heart of a steward, You got to understand, some of it's yours, some of it is another man's. And when he says give, or if he says don't give, it's his, not yours. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, he did eventually have me use it, and that's another story we'll get into another time. You know, I'm telling you, Jesus told us the truth. There is a place in God where you don't have to worry about your car payment. You don't have to worry about your house. Now, I'm not saying don't be accountable. I'm one of the most accountable people. I mean, I pay my bills. You understand me? I'm very responsible, what I'm trying to say. But there is a place where I don't ever think about that anymore. My whole job every day is to be a steward to my rich man, to listen to him, hear what he says, do what he says. He said if I would do that, he would take the responsibility for meeting my needs. And I'm here to give my witness. He has done exactly that. Amen? So I really only know two ways to give in the New Testament. One, it says let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. That's number one. You're allowed to give out of what's yours. The other way is as his steward. And Sue and I, we've practiced this, you know. We figured God's smart enough not to say one amount to me and a different amount to her. So we'd practice it. Say, hey, are you hearing anything? Sometimes it's no, neither one of us. We just give according to what's in our heart. But then sometimes maybe I'd hear an amount, $30, $50, whatever it is, I'd ask her, are you hearing anything? At first, it wasn't always the same. And we made this covenant. If she heard one number and I heard another number, we made a covenant. We always give the highest one. We figured that was a good safeguard against greed. So if I heard 50 and she heard 75, we're giving 75. Amen? But I'm telling you, over time, as we both got better at hearing him, it's amazing how we hear the same amount nearly all the time now. That's the other way to give. First, purpose in your own heart what you'd like to give. Second, listen. Let's do it right now. Just take a moment. I'll quit talking. So now you have a choice. Whoever's going to receive the offering, you can come on up and get the offering plates now. I think there's envelopes available back there if you want a receipt for your giving. So either one of those ways, whatever you purpose in your heart, what you'd like to give, or as a steward, if you heard him give an amount, then that's what you ought to do. Father, I just thank you ahead of time, Lord, for everything that's given. Nobody was threatened. Nobody was bullied. Nobody was bribed. Father, every dime that comes into this offering, you know, came from hearts that love you and want to be your stewards. Father, we just thank you now for your blessing of abundance on everybody in your family. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah.